Welcome, ladies, to Beyond My Breakup, How to Start Over Feeling Empowered, Happy, and Fulfilled Telesummit. I am Maria Bolaños, Women's Empowerment Coach. I specialize in supporting women break through their fears using the power of love to create their own happiness and the life that they dream of. The mission of this interview series is for all of you to get the best tips and advice from experts in love, self-transformation, breakups, inner healing, and more, so you can find your own way to start over your life feeling empowered and happy. Today, I am delighted to have Dr. Erica Woodson here with me. She's a love mentor and relationship healer, helping men and women heal their relationship through love. She's a licensed mental health counselor, licensed marriage therapist, board-certified sex therapist, licensed massage therapist, certified body-oriented psychotherapist, and personal life and health wellness coach. She's a former professor of health and physical education for over two decades. Dr. Erica taught about stress management, holistic health, wellness, physical fitness, yoga, diet, meditation, and the mind-body-spirit connection decades before health awareness became more mainstream. She helps her clients reawaken their passion and love, feeling accepted, appreciated, and acknowledged for their own unique and special gifts. Her clients turn to their partners with a renewed ability to love and be loved. Today, she's going to be talking about broken heart recovery, manifesto, and affirmations. Welcome, Dr. Erica. Thank you for being here with me today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here and talking about my favorite subject, love and relationships.
So, you're talking about broken heart recovery. So, I want to know first, what is a broken heart? And couldn't we just get over it?
That's really a good question, because people who have a broken heart, they know they're in pain. But very often, people around them don't understand that this is not just thinking that things are wrong or not just an emotion that I feel sad. This is a real physiological response. So I wanted to give some of the physiology of a broken heart. There is actually something called broken heart syndrome, which the more technical term or the medical term is stress-induced cardiomyopathy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where someone with a broken heart feels like they're having a heart attack. And what's actually happening, there is often no evidence of any blocked heart arteries, but part of the heart temporarily enlarges and it doesn't pump well. It could be a dysfunction in the left ventricle, and it's severe short-term heart muscle failure, but the good news is that it's usually treatable. So that's a severe case of a broken heart where your heart is actually having a problem. But there's a lot more that goes on when you are in love with someone and you've been in a relationship that you want to keep being in, and the person rejects you or cheats or hurts you, or in a very bad scenario, they die and you don't have that person anymore. So that's where hormones come into play, and one of the hormones is dopamine. Dopamine is an important hormone that we have flowing. It's a feel-good hormone, and it activates our sense of reward in the brain. It helps us to increase attention, and we get excited and temporary desire to explore the world and novelty and take risks. Its effect is almost addictive. It's a wonderful feeling, and it's what you feel at the beginning of a love relationship and when you have an intense passion. Mm-hmm. But when that dopamine wears off, there's another hormone that comes into play, and that's prolactin. And when that gets higher and the dopamine is lower, you have a sense of depletion, irritability, and that's when depression can set in. So one of the aspects of having a broken heart is your hormones start shifting. The hormones that were flowing before are no longer flowing. And there's a part of your brain, the limbic system. It contains certain parts, the thalamus and hypothalamus and amygdala. And what happens is you get messages in that part of your brain, and you want to see and hear and feel and touch this person that you've been such a part of, but if they left you and you can't be with them, your limbic system starts to react, and that affects your serotonin level, which is another hormone needed to feel good. So you could be depressed and you have trouble sleeping and loss of appetite and loss of joy, and all your endorphins are lower, and you might even feel a lot of physical pain. So all of that is part of a broken heart.
So what I hear you saying is that, you know, sometimes we're told, you know, just to stop it or move on or just leave it, but it's actually a lot of physical stuff going on in the body where we're going through a breakup. So it's kind of, there's a hard part to it that it's kind of not under our control all the time, you know, all of these physical reactions that are going on inside are actually really strong and make us feel bad and depressed. And it's something, what can we do to diminish all of this physical reaction?
Well,
is there something that we can do to reduce that?
Absolutely. The first thing, the natural thing is, well, it depends on your immediate reaction. It could be anger. We get really angry. You know, you want to hit someone. So a good thing to do, if anger is the emotion that comes up, you know, how could this person do that? You hit a pillow, you bang on it, do something which you're not hurting anybody, but you're getting that anger out, or lie on the bed and kick and scream. That's if you're feeling the anger. But that's, men more often right away feel anger. Women more often at the very beginning feel depression, which is anger turned inward. So if you're feeling depression and sadness, the best thing you can do is to let yourself cry. To not suppress the crying, but let yourself cry. If you have to stay in bed all day and cry, let yourself get the feelings out. So that's the first thing to do, is focus on your emotions and get the feelings out. Then you're ready, if you really do that, and also talk to people, whoever is available, that will listen to you. You could be really annoying to be around when you've just broken up with someone because you're obsessed and you're talking a lot, but you really need to do that. So it's good if you have a therapist, if you've been going to a therapist, or if you have a coach and you have someone you can regularly talk to. But if not, a friend, some friends will listen. And that's the first step, is just feeling the feelings and talking about it. But there's the next step, is thinking about your thoughts. What am mm-hmm. I thinking about this relationship? Am I thinking it's the end of the world? I'm never going to find anyone again. I'm a loser. You have to think of all your thoughts and try to get them down to neutral. Like, all right, this is very painful, but I'll survive, and there are other people out there. Those are just the first two things to do. There's a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Should I continue a little more?
Yeah, thank you. I think I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so another thing that you can do is focus on your body. Like, to avoid having this severe, almost heart attack, heartbreak, focus on your body. Where do I feel tightness? Do I feel constriction in the chest area? Do I feel tightness in my solar plexus? That's right at the base of your ribs. Is my breathing not normal? And then see if you can find a way to relax your body. Focus on the parts that hurt. Pay attention to your body. The more you pay attention to your body and feel what's going on in your body, the less aggravated you get by the outside situation. So after you've taken a look at your body, then ask yourself some questions. Like, start with what questions. What do I think caused the breakup? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with him? What do I believe? What have my friends or family been telling me? What's accurate? What's really false? What is my body telling me? What do I want? That's an important one. What do I want and desire and need in an intimate relationship? What do I think that other person wanted that I somehow wasn't able to provide? What do I want that that person wasn't able to provide? Keep asking those what questions. What's making me so upset? And just asking that. And another thing you can do is write down your answers. There's something very healing about taking out a sheet of paper and writing all the negative feelings, a few pages of that, and then ask yourself a question. Ask why. Why is all this happening? Why do I feel so strongly? And when you've written a few pages like that, you get an answer. It's called automatic writing, and that answer can help you to think a little differently. Like, why does this hurt so much? Because I've been clinging to someone who really didn't love me, and I was trying to convince him or her, and it didn't work. So let yourself really ask those why questions. And then you come to how questions. Like, how can I make this better? What can I do? How can I change my attitude, change what I'm doing, change what I'm thinking to create love and a happy relationship in my life?
I love this, and it seems so interesting to me that you're, you know, actually we're able to see with all the explanation that you've given us how there is such a strong connection between mind and body, and how all of our emotions are gonna show up physically. So the pain becomes real, you know, and the part when you say how you start listening to your body and starting. And also start to accept the pain and the feelings that you're having. It's actually easier to let it go than when we try to fight it, you know, because we don't want to be sad. We don't want people to feel a pity of us, you know, or to just, you know, we sometimes try to hide it. And that's actually what I hear you saying, is that it could actually turn worse that if we own our feelings and we accept that and try to get deeper into why are we feeling that. And all of that part of writing it, I love it, because it can be really a catharsis, you know, of getting everything out. And it's actually what I understand from what you said, it's actually makes it easier when you work through your feelings and your pain than when you just try to shut it off.
Right. It's like EST. It's a program I took about 25 years ago. They always said, what you resist persists. So if you resist being angry, if you resist crying, you know, you hold it together and you're not going to cry and you're not going to express it and you're saying, I'm fine, the more you resist it, the less you're healing. You're holding on to it. So by giving into that crying, I'm thinking of a couple of movies I've seen where something happens, they're hurt, and they're sobbing. And that's what you have to do. Let yourself do that. It won't be forever. That will always end.
Yeah.
You'll get hungry at some point. I mean, you just can't keep crying. But you do it for a certain amount of time. The other piece is that just because you go through the emotions and you think it's better, you may have to do that again. You may be fine for a few days and all of a sudden something triggers it and you're crying again. You have to remember, memories are stored in your brain and it's stored all throughout your body cells. We have memories and neurotransmitters that reach all the cells. So something can remind us and we're back in that feeling.
Yeah.
But there does come a point where finally you've accepted that this person is not in your life and you still have your life and you want to go on.
Wow, I like that. I like that. You know, it's about being gentle with yourself too and accepting that it's normal what you're feeling, you know, and that you're allowing yourself to feel what you're feeling. And you know what you're saying? There comes a point in which you're able to move on and let go, but I'm curious, why is it so hard to break up? Even when the other person is hurting us, sometimes we try to hold on to a relationship and try to make it work. Why is it so hard to break up sometimes?
Well, one of the things that happens, when you choose a person, you're attracted to them. Sometimes you're not attracted at the beginning, but at some point you become really attracted. And then you're connected, and when you're sexual, There's other hormones, oxytocin. You feel a bonding with the person, and you're used to that person. There's little things that you've done together. Comfort. There's a certain comfort level. And you had a dream, and early on you had this dream, and that person did treat you well at one point, or you never would have been in the relationship. So you remember that, and you don't want to let go of that because you keep thinking, what I felt at the beginning is real, and this person, maybe they're in a bad mood, maybe this is just temporary, maybe I can prove how much I love that person. So you're trying so hard to win them over and to get back to that loving feeling that you don't want to let go of this. And then it's scary to go out and be single and be completely free again because not everybody's that appealing to you. It may have taken a long time to find this one person that you're with. So the prospect is that you're going to be alone for a long time and you don't want to be alone. But the point is the sooner that you do it, the sooner you'll be able to recover and then be ready to meet somebody new. And there always is another new person.
I like that. I like that. You know, that it's there's a way through it, and that you can actually start the recovery process. But I'm wondering, how do we know when we're ready to begin that recovery process?
Well, I would say when you finally start thinking beyond, why did he do this to me? You know, why am I hurting so much? When you finally start to say, to acknowledge whatever your cause is in the problem, but not blaming yourself, not with that attitude, oh, I did everything wrong and I'm a loser, but or he did everything wrong or she did everything wrong. It's more you become a little neutral and you start to see both sides of it. You see what that person, the other person, might have been feeling, what their needs were, what messages they might have been giving you for a while that you didn't notice or pay attention to. And then you also begin to notice, what did I do? Maybe I was a little pushy. Maybe I expected too much. Maybe I didn't see that he really wasn't the right person for me and I was trying to make it work and he felt insecure. You start to look at the whole picture. And that's a beginning that, okay, I'm ready to start the process of recovery. I'm not really ready to jump into another relationship, which is what so many people do. So you jump in, the other person seems wonderful at the beginning, but then you're comparing to the person that you broke up with, and no matter how bad it was at the end, you start remembering the wonderful parts and what you loved about that person. And you even remember more of what you loved because you couldn't have them. So it becomes even, their qualities become even higher and better. So the key is to really get neutral and then be able to look at nature and see birds are flying and free. They're not suffering like I am. And dogs and cats. And you look at nature, plants, and start to feel a little bit better about life and think about the people that are on their deathbed, and they wish they had a little more life ahead of them.
I love that. Do you have any specific tips or techniques that you can share with us? And you know, into because you were talking, you know, right now and before about our thoughts, how we start blaming ourselves and trying to see what we do wrong. It's hard for a person who is going, while we're going through the breakup, it's easy to turn it to ourselves, especially if we weren't the one who broke up, you know, who decided to end the relationship. I think that this process is more complicated when we start to wonder, what was it that I did wrong? What could have I done differently? And especially when we are enhancing the qualities of the other person instead of seeing the things that were actually wrong. Do you have any key steps or suggestions that we can use to change those thoughts and let go of the guilt or the self-blame that we get ourselves into?
Well, it's more complex. That's why I created a course called Healing Through Love Audio Series. And this is about healing your relationship to yourself. So that's where you forgive yourself for whatever you think is inadequate in yourself. You learn, what do I do that's well? And you appreciate who you are. You have certain gifts and certain ways that you're exceptional, and other ways where you could learn from another person. That's you. But then you also heal your relationship to others, so you need to know, who is this other person? What is that person's dreams and desires? And I have an example of someone who might be your partner. Maybe this person, just an example, an exaggerated example, maybe this person was abused and beaten up a lot as a child and into adolescence. So their idea of someone who's worthy of being in a relationship with is that the other person should be really abusive, because I don't have much value, and so they value an abusive person. But they don't want to be abused, so they choose you, who's a nice person, and you're kind and you're caring, but all they see is that you're a weak person and you're not abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't see you as this wonderful person, because all they see is, like, you're not abusive, so you don't have value. It's a strange way that somebody thinks, but if that's in their background and in their thinking, you could do headstands and cartwheels and buy them gifts and buy them an island, and they're still not going to love you. So it has so much to do with who that other person is, where are they coming from, what do they want and value in a relationship, and does that match your qualities and what you value in a relationship? Those two things are so important. And then the other part is understanding your healing your relationship to your past. Like, don't ignore the stuff that's happened in your past. If your parents got divorced, if you felt neglected, if you felt less than your sister or your brother or something, all of that can play into the way you're relating to someone and the type of person you're choosing. So that's important. And then the last one is healing your relationship to your future. So also understanding, what do I want for the rest of my life? Do I want a person who cheats, or do I want a person who's loyal, or a person who has a good substantial job, or do I want someone who's investing and making lots of money but it's unreliable? You have to understand, what do I want? And when you understand all of that, then you look at this particular relationship and it's easier to let go of it, because you start to understand the pieces that were not fitting well. And you realize there are other people, and then you can get yourself ready to choose someone who really matches your dreams and criteria and needs.
I love that. And I love you saying, you know, that you work through a healing process through love. And, you know, starting with the love with yourself, you know, how can we learn about ourselves and what we want and what we need? And it's so important, you know, because then we keep looking for the things that we don't want when we are not truly connected with what we really want in life and what we really desire for in a relationship.
So a question is, when you're just suffering from a breakup, is to ask yourself, how can I love myself better?
I
do to help myself to feel better? So you're focusing on you instead of focusing on the other person.
And that's when you really start to feel empowered, when you start to focus on your self-love. And I think you've talked before about Nina paradox of love, betrayal, and breakups. Can you tell us a little bit, what does it mean?
What does betrayal mean?
No, what's the paradox of
love?
Oh,
the paradox. Sorry, I didn't hear it well. The paradox is what I kind of said at the beginning, that you, well, I didn't actually say this. You're in a relationship, and you're so aggravated. You're suffering. This person is making you so upset. All you want to do is break up and get away from the person. That's how you're thinking. You might be talking to your friends. You might be making plans. You might actually be the one to break off the relationship and move out, or whatever it is that it takes. But once you're out, then the world hits you. You're by yourself. You start to think of the good qualities of that person. You start to feel all those hormones flowing through your body. Your brain has memories, and you're getting stuck on remembering the good times, the feelings in your body that felt good. You forget the pain pretty quickly, and you look at the good stuff. We have a way of doing that. And so that's the paradox. You want to break up. You know it's bad for you, and you're just so afraid because you're afraid of what you're going to feel afterwards when you break up. What you're thinking of is the immediate afterwards. But if you give it a little time and then have time to evaluate everything and calm down and let your body and emotions and brain calm down, then you can look back on it and be a little more neutral about it, and then you're ready to move on.
I like that you mentioned the fear of what's next. Mm-hmm. There's a specific fear that comes to my mind, and it was a fear for me, and it was a really strong fear. And I heard other women have that same fear, and it's not related with what we think of ourselves, but it's mostly what society thinks. You know, sometimes society sees a divorced woman as someone who has baggage. You know,
right?
They kind of see us, you know, like we're broken or something. You know, like I have sometimes felt when someone is talking about divorced women, like we're damaged goods. You know, and of course it's not all of the people, but I used to hear that even before I got divorced. So
right, that's
I do remember having that fear on my mind. If I do get a divorce, because I was going through so much, you know, and I was thinking about it, should I or shouldn't I? I'm like, what is it going to be like? You know, people are gonna see me like I'm broken, like I'm not good enough, like I'm damaged, and that I have too much baggage on me. And I was afraid of that, and that was one of my biggest fear to overcome when I decided to get a divorce. Where does that fear come from, and how can we work through that fear?
That fear comes from putting all the importance on the outside world, valuing what other people think over what you think. And when you finally can come to terms with, this is what I need, and I am fine, who I am is a good person, I'm fine, this is what I need, and I'm doing what I need to take care of myself. And a great statement that I got from Conversations with God from Neil Donald Walsh, he asked a question, in every moment ask yourself this, what would love do now? So our immediate reaction is, what would love do now for the other person? But he's not saying that. He's saying, what would love do now for me? So when you say that, what would love do now for me? If you're in a relationship that's making you cry and making you suffer and you're feeling inadequate and you know you have to get out of it, then what love would do for you now is to find a way to get out of it and to find a way to stand up to the attitudes of other people.
I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, what will love do now? And it's what will loving myself do, right? So it's like what you were saying before, you know, about loving yourself. So when you start to love yourself, that decision comes easier to face the world and to treat yourself with love and respect for yourself so much that it's, that fear becomes, that fades away.
Mm-hmm. You just take a stand. You don't worry about what those people think because you realize the people that value you, that know you, will understand that this was the best thing you could do. They're not going to judge you like that. And the people who do judge, let them go through what you went through, and they'd probably do the same thing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And, you like to work with affirmations, and
yes.
What affirmations can you share with us to help us in our healing journey?
Well, the really best thing is to create your own affirmation based on your own situation. I do a type of mind-body therapy called the Rubenfeld Synergy Method. And what happens is someone, they've come to me for several sessions for counseling, and then I give them one of these sessions. And they're not sure about what's happening, and then they come to a realization, and then they make a statement of what they can do. And it's so powerful because it came out of all your confusion. But if you don't have your own statement yet, here's one that can help. Relationships can be difficult, and it's good that this one has ended. It's a good step. Another one that's really valuable is, my time was not wasted. This was a learning experience for me. And maybe this other person learned something from me. Another one is, I will take time to nurture myself and get all the support I need. Now I will learn all about love and relationships to prepare me for a better relationship in the future. Those are just some of them.
They're beautiful, you know, actually taking the pain or your everything that you're going through and making it a positive thing to happen, you know, what you can learn from it, from the experience, and how can you make your next relationship and the rest of your life better based on what you've gone through before. And I think that you have a gift for the people who are listening that it's related with this affirmations. Can you tell us a little bit what is it?
Right. What I created was what I call the Broken Heart Recovery Manifesto. Manifesto is like a document, something you can hold on to, and you can refer back to it from time to time. And it talks about all of that, the paradox of a broken heart and breaking up, and what it takes to go from desperation to inspiration, and how to create a new vision, and how to use some of those steps I talked about to cry and bang a pillow or whatever it takes for you to get over the feelings, and then how to become an attraction magnet, and finally how to really understand love and create love in your life. So that's the Broken Heart Manifesto, Broken Heart Recovery Manifesto, and the other is the Broken Heart Recovery Manifesto Affirmations. Affirmations you can use, or you can adjust them, add your own words in there, and create your own affirmations.
I love that. Thank you. That's such a valuable gift, especially, you know, since a lot of the women who are listening are probably going through a breakup, you know, or a divorce, so they're really going to be getting a lot of value out of the gift that you are so kindly given to them. And it was such a pleasure to have you with us today, talking about all of these things, you know, and about our feelings and how can we overcome our fears and our emotions when we're going through this difficult time of a breakup. I really appreciate it, and I would love to have more time with you. But and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. You asked some wonderful questions and good responses to them. Thank you.
Thank you. So to all of you who are listening, don't forget to keep listening to the rest of the interviews. There's a lot of value in them, and the idea is to keep supporting you through your to go through your breakup or your divorce in that way that you can overcome it in a happy and fulfilled and empowered way. And remember to use the power of love to get empowered. Till next time, bye.